The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Was there ever a more apt description of our human dilemma? In 1996, Terry had the opportunity to travel to Bosnia as a part of a diaconal mission trip sponsored by the Division of Diaconal Ministry of our General Board of Higher Education and Ministry. She and her group were among the first to enter the country following the uneasy conclusion of the Bosnian War. Their mission was to work at a church school to begin repairing the damage done to the school during the course of that war. Quite literally, they spent their days patching the bullet holes in the walls of the school. Hard to imagine, but that's what they did. At night, they slept in the gymnasium on hard mats. She told me when she returned that they went to bed early every day since there still was no electricity and there was no light, so they went to bed as soon as the sun went down. I stayed home. I tried to explain to my congregation of the time, the good people of Emmanuel United Methodist Church in East Point, and to our children, Carl and Mary, who were quite young still at that time, why it was that I had sent my wife off to a war zone. Throughout the Bosnian War, we were told, this may be a while back for you to remember, but we were told that this was a conflict between the Christian Serbs and the Muslim Bosnians. And one would think that at the very least, people were fighting for their religious convictions. But what Terry discovered during her time there was instead a country that was only nominally religious and a country in which many had no real religious convictions at all. And the real power behind the conflict was not religion, but rather a fanatical desire to keep the conflicts of the past alive and to avenge wrongs inflicted one way or another in the dim recesses of history. Terry was surprised by the ability of the people she met to talk about events of as much as 500 years ago, as though they had happened just yesterday. As though they had happened to the present day population of that country. Why were Serbian snipers hiding in the hills, picking off children as they came into the open to try to retrieve water for their families? If you asked a Serbian fighter of that day, you were likely to get a lecture on how the people of Serbia were offended 500 years ago. And so they said they were justified at shooting children as they tried to get water. The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Why is it that we are so good at passing our prejudices and our hatreds on to our children? Why is it that we seem so trapped by patterns of behavior that were established by previous generations, patterns that fail them and now fail us. How can it be that we have so much trouble breaking free of things that tie us, enslave us, bind us, that we are doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past? Could it be that we have not embraced the promise of God stated in Jeremiah, that God now desires a new covenant with us, a new relationship with us, a relationship that shall set us free from the bondage of the past and the chains of our own learned prejudices? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. I spent a lot of time in my ministry studying the work of Murray Bowen and his understanding of family systems theory. That theory teaches us that we are all a product of the way we grew up and the interrelationships within our families of origin. The theory is filled with esoteric language referring to emotional triangles and self-differentiation, binding anxiety, and a whole lexicon of fancy words. I'm grateful for that study. It's helped me a tremendous amount in my ministry. But after 35 years of full-time ministry, it is no longer a surprise to me that the problems in families and in churches, for that matter, and in our culture as in general, usually go deeper than just one generation. Dysfunctionality most often repeats over and over again within our families until someone, somewhere in the flow of generations, decides to step out of the cycle and become a different self. Emotional immaturity breeds emotional immaturity. Substance abuse in one generation gives rise to substance abuse in the next generation. Reactivity and blaming from parents fosters reactive and blaming children. And when someone in that system decides that they've finally had enough and they call upon God to lead them out of it, you can bet your bottom dollar that that family or that church or that community is going to be extremely upset because they have dared to step outside of the system. Murray Bowen taught me the current clinical language and improved my ability to function in these common emotional systems, but I'm here to tell you today that clinic speak will never describe this situation as well as the prophet Jeremiah. The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But wait, there is more. And there is more than just condemnation. There is hope and there is promise. For Jeremiah goes on to report the word of God, saying, "The days are surely coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I have come to firmly understand that God's purpose from the very beginning of salvation history is to invite us, you and me, and all of humanity into a new relationship with God. In this new relationship, we learn to live in this world without becoming of this world, as Paul put it. In this new relationship, we learn to negotiate the difficulties of life by living with a radical trust in God. How many times must I tell you that that has become for me the definition of faith? Living in the difficulties of life with an unshakable, radical trust in God. In this new relationship, we are set free from the history of hatreds and prejudices that have come to enslave us. The biblical record clearly shows that we have not learned this lesson very well, but God persists in teaching us nonetheless. From the very beginning, we have been convinced that God's purpose really is to give humanity, or to give you and me, or to give the ancient peoples whatever it is that we want. That it is God's purpose in this world to be on our side against our enemies, or to validate our particular view of the world. And time again, we have made this mistake, and then we have wondered why God has abandoned us when we did not win, or we are left without our ambitions fulfilled. This is the story of the Hebrew people, reluctant to leave slavery in Egypt and then afraid to enter the promised land. This was the story of the disciples with Jesus when they fell to arguing over who would be the greatest among them, and when they cowered in fear after the crucifixion. And this is our story when we teach our children that God hates the same people we do, and when people reduce the gospel to a scheme to make us rich. Jeremiah declared it. Jesus embodied it. There is now a new covenant. And this new covenant is a covenant of the heart, not of the pocketbook or not of our particular agenda. It is a covenant of the heart. God's purpose is not to give us what we want, but rather to bring us into a new way of living. Jesus described this new way. He said, "I give you now a new covenant, that you love one another as I have loved you." The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Has there ever been a better description of how enslaved we are? But that is not the end of the story. It is not the way God intended us to live. God has proclaimed a new covenant. We are set free from the sins of the past. We are no longer slaves to old hurts and prejudices. Whatever difficulties may be ours in the present moment, we are no longer held captive by our circumstances. God has broken in, and we are no longer destined to repeat the same old mistakes. Jesus said, "I give you now a new covenant, that you love one another as I have loved you." And as Jeremiah rightly observed, this is a new covenant written on our hearts. Thanks be to God.